FM. Buying or selling a home is a big decision. That's why you need an experienced real estate agent that listens, knows the area, and understands market conditions. Hi, I'm David Jones, the owner of F.O. Bailey Real Estate, and that is what we do. Help you navigate what is likely the biggest investment you will ever make. Our agents are well-trained and equipped with the latest technology. We use that to your advantage as you seek to buy or sell a property. Since 1819, F.O. Bailey has been a market leader in commercial and residential real estate transactions. Let us put our experience to work for you. You can call my office at 207-781-1111 or call me personally at 207-650-3455. Visit our website, fobaileyrealestate.com, to find out more. F.O. Bailey, since 1819, a tradition of excellence.
It's 7:35. You're listening to 100.5 FM. Good morning. I'm Ray Richardson. Thanks for joining us. We're broadcasting live from the RowAutoGroup.com studio. Don't forget, our McVetty's Hearth and Home text line is 207-409-6172. You can find out more at stovesofmaine.com. The lovely and talented Dee Dee Richardson is in the house. Nobody else here actually matters. Just no offense, but so true. David Jones is here along with Chris Till. It is the F.O. Bailey Real Estate Update. There's a lot to talk about in the real estate world. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Yes, we have our friend here, Chris Till. He's pretty involved in the real estate investment here in the state of Maine. He knows the state of Maine as I do. And I figured it would be good to get him in here. You know, you haven't been here in a while. And
thanks for the invite, David and Ray. This is awesome.
Absolutely. We've known each other, what, like 12, 15 years?
Maybe longer? At least.
Been a while.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
It's been a while.
You know, when you
time
get to be
flies.
My age, Chris, I'm 63. If you don't know somebody 20 years, you don't really know them.
Exactly.
So it's crazy.
So true. It is so true. But, you know, like, you've been involved in quite a few things. You had the Easy Day.
Which I want to stop right there. That was a fabulous place.
We loved going there.
Yeah. It was just such a fabulous place. We loved going there. The vibe was so good. The food was
excellent.
Yeah. The people were wonderful. Yeah. And you would set up those tables outside with a gas-fired fire in the middle of them. Yeah. And I remember taking my mom over there. She's not with us anymore, but I remember taking my mom over there, and we sat out on the harbor. And she said, I don't know if this is paradise, but it sure feels like it.
Yeah, it always helped, too, when we had our, you know, our friends. People like Don Campbell and the other musicians that we would host there, Andy Fossett, a lot of the local artists that would come and play that patio. It was a lot of fun.
Well, F.O. Bailey had a couple events.
Oh, yeah. Christmas party twice.
Christmas parties, bowling. Yeah, it was great. And I'll tell you, it's a good way to get everyone together and have a good time and let your hair hang down, have a couple of drinks, have some good food. And we loved going there. So, and now you're doing the car washes, which is really interesting. And I love your big flag down there in South Portland.
Yeah, exactly. So it was funny. So I got into the car wash business, David, by purchasing the one across from Easy Day because I was having a parking problem. So we would be jamming people. And this is God's honest truth. I bought the car wash thinking, all right, there's no one washing cars at night.
Mm.
On any given night, there were 15 to 20 employee cars that were jamming up parking spots that could generate revenue.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, all right, well, I'll buy that and they'll park over there at night.
Right.
Lo and behold, once I figured out the business, I said, hey, this isn't a bad business.
Yeah. Well, car wash business is a great business. You've got, what, seven of them now?
Yeah, we're operating seven throughout the state. Yeah. South Portland was my first one, and then I partnered up with my good friend. The reason why I'm in here in Maine, my Naval Academy roommate and also fellow Navy SEAL. We partnered up and purchased from Yvonne Pellerin up in Androscoggin County, who was a pioneer in the car wash industry here in Maine. And luckily, Mr. Yvonne helped us out. We put a deal together, and now we're fixing those sites. So we just brought Auburn fully online with all new technology. That site is experiencing its first winter. David's working diligently down in Saco, so right behind the Irving. We own that one. Mm-hmm. That one's going through a renovation right now. And then we'll be going through these other older sites and rehabbing them.
And it's fabulous. You know, before we left for the inauguration, Dee Dee said, we have to stop and get our car washed. We can't go down to D.C. with the car looking like this. by the time we got to D.C., it looked pretty bad. But when we left Maine, it looked pretty good. And the point is, if you got a car, I mean, my car costs $45,000. Now, I lease it, so I didn't pay $45,000 for it. But it's $45,000. It should look good, right?
Yeah, and it's most people outside of, to tie it back to real estate, outside of their homes, their vehicle is their single biggest investment.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's a depreciating asset, so take care of the darn thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Amen. I wash my car twice a week.
Yeah, yeah. And plus you get the undercarriage. You try to
cut down on the rust and all the chemicals
that are on the road. Absolutely. Yeah.
Especially in Maine with all the calcium, what is it they use now?
It's liquid calcium.
Yeah.
Horrible.
You know what's really interesting about the car wash is whenever you go there, there's always somebody in front of you and there's always somebody behind you waiting to get their car washed. There's always a line. Always.
Well, come in October. If you're experiencing lines now, come in October and we'll get you signed. October is usually a pretty slow month.
Is that right?
Yeah. So.
Well, I'm pretty consistent. I mean, I'll go, like once or twice a week, depending on the weather and what's going on. The only time, because I can't stand being in a dirty car. I just hate having a dirty car.
As much money as you pay for your car, you should not have a dirty car.
If you drive a nice car, any car, really, you want to take care of
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
If it's like anything else.
Well, mine's leased, so I got to keep it in good shape so that when I turn it back in, I get my value back.
Get that residual, right?
Absolutely. You got it.
Speaking of residual, I heard you guys when I was driving in today. Talking about the governor's budget, right?
Hmm.
And yesterday, if you check the headlines from yesterday, the Portland City Council was talking about a 3-7% tax increase this year on property tax.
Yeah.
I just want to make a point. I don't think people realize if you go back the last 10 years and look at the unprecedented growth that the state of Maine has had, these aren't 3-7% increases. These are 30-40% increases because the basis is growing.
Mm. Right.
And they sell it under the guise of a 3% increase. But go back 10 years and add it up. And then look at what's happened just in Portland. I'm just speaking to Portland right now. But you could go to our surrounding communities in Biddeford and Saco.
Values have doubled. Values in real estate have basically doubled in the past 5-7 years.
Well, and think about this. The state budget has grown. When Janet Mills took office, it was $7.5 billion. This budget takes it to 11.6. When she signs a supplemental in January of 2026, it's going to be $12 billion. She's pouring money back into the communities. They're now doing 5% revenue sharing, with the cities and towns. Plus, she's sending another $156 million in education back to the towns. So why are the towns raising property taxes when they're getting this flood of money they didn't have before?
Why? Yeah, that's it. Why? Well, I mean, why are we paying excise tax? Why are we paying gas tax? Why are we paying these taxes right?
Put all that aside. Yeah. All of these hundreds of millions of dollars are going back into the community. She claimed last night 40% of the state budget goes back into the community. So if that's true, which I don't know. I haven't had time.
Yeah.
Why are property taxes going through the roof?
Well, you look at it, bottom line.
That was your point, right, Chris?
Expanding the size of government.
Exactly.
That's what it is. It's another government growth, right?
Correct.
They keep funding the growth, the amount of people that they employ. I don't know what the status is, Ray. I mean, you're the statistician here, but how many people in the state of Maine are employed by local, county, and state government?
We don't actually know that number. There's 13,000 state employees. We know that. She's trying to grow that right now.
By 258.
Paula Page had cut it down to 11,500, and not all of those positions were filled. Mm-hmm. They were funded, but not filled. So it's just a dramatic growth of government. And again, I say this every day, what have we gotten for it? She claims that our GDP is growing. Her average is 1.4%. That is anemic growth in her 6 years. We had a couple of good quarters, and she's touting the quarters, not the actual growth overall.
Absolutely. For the year. Yeah.
Our infrastructure is ranked by CNBC, certainly not a right-wing nut job radio station. CNBC is a good financial network. We're ranked 48th right now in the country in infrastructure. Education has fallen from 32 to 43rd.
Yeah, right.
Our high schools are ranked dead last in the country, according to U.S. News and World Report. So all those things she said last night, I don't know who's advising her, or maybe she just made them up in the sky, but it's just not true.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead, Chris. You had something you were going to say.
No, I'm still optimistic about the state of Maine.
Oh, I am. What I worry about,
whether it was the previous segment on ambulances and prescriptions or this continual spend, it's our older population that is getting hammered, just absolutely hammered. You live in a home, you live in a community for 25 years. You're in a home that you maybe purchased for $100,000 and it now has a value of $700,000 and you're on a fixed income and your state and municipality just keeps cranking up on you.
It's a travesty. Yeah.
So it's a travesty to the older generation and it's a travesty to my children and my unborn grandchildren who don't even, my children don't have a hope to pay off debt that our country and our state racks up. Now, our state has a balanced budget amendment, you will say, but the growth, unless you start cutting the growth, they're not going to be able to sustain this.
No.
Well, I mean,
here's the big answer.
Yeah.
1977, we had 247,000 children in public schools. Today, we have just under 170,000. We have driven the young people from our state. They don't see hope and opportunity here. Now, I still do because I always believe my best day is in front of me.
I agree.
Tomorrow is always going to be my best day, and I believe that about Maine.
Oh, that was the funniest thing last night in her speech. The biggest applause line was Cooper Flagg, and I'm laughing in my head. I'm like, I love Cooper Flagg. I think he's a great talent, but she's touting it as this is what Maine produces. The kid left when he was 14 for opportunity.
Right. He went to Montverde down in Florida, not far from where I grew up.
Yeah, exactly.
So she's using this as a shining example.
And he's not playing she's at proving UMaine, the he's playing at Duke.
She's proven the point that everybody has to leave to
get
up.
Has to leave.
Well, I mean, and so the point here is you cannot tax people in prosperity any more than you can borrow yourself into prosperity. It doesn't work. And so the thing she touted last night, I don't know where she got it from, but it's not true. And if the people of Maine fall for it, well, God love them for not paying attention, I guess. But the fact of the matter is, I hear it every day. You talked about our seniors. In my hometown, last year we had a dramatic property tax increase on top of the prior dramatic property tax increase the year before. 203 families are seniors. They lived in the homes they were raised in. It's paid off. And they have contacted me and said, I don't know what to do. Can you please help? Is there an abatement or something? I can't pay my property taxes. They're either going to lien me and take my house, or I'm going to have to sell it. What kind of a town, and I love Westbrook. That's why I live there. I chose to live there. We've lived there 32 years. What kind of a group of people that lead your community would do this to your seniors and then claim you care about
The mayor of Southport, was it the mayor of South Portland said, get a reverse mortgage, right? Yeah. I mean, like,
and
so
then
going
he apologized,
to Hawk to pay us.
But right? only because he got so much heat for saying it.
Yeah. Here's the deal, right? The answer is right before us, and it's simple. You want strong communities. You keep people in the same homes and in the same community.
That's right. You want to
stop the overrun.
Consistency.
You want to stop the overrun of these giant costs in government. Why not have a tax policy where if you are in your home for 20, 25 year plus and you become a retiree in that community.
Florida does it.
There's a vetting process. Yeah. Why are those folks not receiving massive, if not no property tax? But then why aren't they working at the schools? Why aren't they working at the library part-time? There are so many unique things that you could do to allow people to stay in their homes and cut the size and scope of government.
You're absolutely right. I'll give you an example. Linda Adams ran for mayor. Unfortunately, she didn't win.
And that's nothing against the – I want to make sure I'm clear. I'm not saying fire all the teachers. I have nothing against librarians. We use the public library the time. But you could save a lot of money rather than going into the library and seeing four people that are all bringing home $100,000 plus full bennies.
Yeah.
So – one of the things they said in Westbrook, they put out a budget. They said they cut everything they possibly could. Taxpayers voted it down. Then they cut $719,000 out of the budget, and they narrowly won. Linda was running for, and I talked to her about it because she was running for mayor, and she went and talked to the school about it. And they said, well, we were having a CDL program. We didn't want to, you know, get rid of it. And I said, why aren't we going out to companies like Nappy and other places where they will come in and they will train these kids to get their license, and they can go get their license, and it's a great public partnership. And what does NAPI get out of it? Maybe they get new employees or some other big company. Mm-hmm. These companies would partner with these school systems immediately on stuff like that because they're hurting for drivers. They don't even think like this.
Well, it's because they're not, you know, we know everything that's wrong. We talk about it every day. But the bottom line is this.
But we also offer solutions.
I
want
to flip
though.
The switch on this a little bit, because we know that this is, in Maine, it's still the cheapest state around. I mean, when it comes to buying real estate and the opportunities you can buy here, it's amazing. We know we have lousy leadership. We know that. It's an absolute given fact. So what we have to do now is just realize that and get together. And I think the people in the state of Maine and the United States of America are in a position, a mindset, that they're fed up. Enough is enough. So I think in 2026, I think we're going to see some things change here. That, and I'm always a hopeful, optimistic. My brother-in-law says I'm optimistic to a fault. But the bottom line is that living in the great state of Maine is incredible. That what you get when you reach into your pocket and you buy something is of equal or greater value compared to other states. So now what we have to do is just make sure we hire leadership that's going to put us in the right spot. Bottom line. All right. So,
we all agree with that. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't sit here.
I wouldn't be here.
My family's begging me to come back to Florida, but I'm not giving up on this state. This is my home. This is my adult home. I wasn't born here, but I got here as fast as I could. And I've devoted my life to Maine.
Yeah.
And we provide solutions. I just talked about one. Public-private partnership on helping kids who are in trade school here in Maine. We got a great one, the Resource Center in Westbrook. Public-private partnerships to help them get their commercial driver's license. Mm-hmm. And they don't even think like that. But places, the businesses here, Moore, R.C. Moore.
Yeah.
Boy, they would partner up in a heartbeat. They need drivers desperately. And if they could do that, they're part of that process. The kids see they're a great company. Mm. They're contributing to the community. All of a sudden, they've got a new pool of employees here. These are all solutions, but these people don't think this way.
Yeah, the solution's at the local level. That's my personal belief. That's what our country was founded on.
Mm.
And if there's anything...
Bring it home.
If there's anything from the Trump populist movement that's occurring right now across the whole country on a macro level, is that I think it does return us to the Constitution.
Yeah.
Amen.
So anything in business, the military, what I've always found is the middle is what messes things up. Okay, the middle, whether it's the middleman in business, middle management in business, same thing in the military. You might have a great general that has good guidance, but if the colonels and the other 05 level are messing that up, the junior officer and senior enlisted aren't going to be able to implement effective stuff. So in this case, when we talk about tax policy or we talk about effective government, some of the ideas Trump is coming up with are completely disruptive to what we know as the narrative.
Right.
But let's funnel that money to the local people. Mm. Ray, if you're my town counselor and you put in some harebrained idea, it's going to be real easy to knock on your door because I know where you live.
Right.
Right now, our leaders are talking heads on cable TV. It's asinine.
From everything, from the reality.
And that's what I'm most excited about with this. Like, some of the ideas that Trump has in the administration are neat from a disruptive standpoint of the current government.
Which
but
needs to
I
happen.
Really, truly believe that this movement returns us to the Constitution and returns us to the founders of this country that were a hell of a lot smarter than anybody on this radio show or anybody listening.
You are absolutely right. The idea that you got a collection of 55, 56 men together with that kind of intellect and vision was only through the hand of God.
It's absolutely
it's only
divine
through the hand of God.
No,
you brought up the
it.
Middleman. It's you used a military example, but I'm going to use a civilian example. Pharmacy benefit managers. They are out there. Program benefit managers is what they are. And they go out and negotiate deals. And theoretically, that all gets passed on to the consumer, except they end up keeping the largesse of it. They're in the way. We could do a much better job here. To your point, the middleman is the problem here. They're the one that's clogging up the river so that it doesn't run properly. That's the problem.
Exactly. And then you have two choices, right? So if the money gets funneled to the state, is it getting down to the local level or is it getting caught up in a place like Augusta? And if it does, then you start looking more like a Balkan state than you do a United States because people will vote with their feet. What you see in New York, what you're seeing in California with the Idaho invasion, that's what will slowly happen.
Well, and you're seeing it with Silicon Valley. The reason that this new
Texas.
Investment.
Moving
this
to Texas.
This half-trillion-dollar investment.
Well, and hopefully here in Maine, right? If we do things right, Rue Institute, right? They're coming into Portland, putting a ton of money into development of the tech sector, et cetera. If we could change policy in the next 2 to 6 years, we would have a chance to land some of that migration.
Right. Yeah. Remember, government's not the answer. Government's the problem, right?
I asked the question yesterday and the day before. I wanted people to play Larry Ellison. You're Larry Ellison, and you're head of Oracle, and you're involved in this half-trillion-dollar investment in AI, and you're looking to build data centers. So you look at each state because you're looking for the best deal, right? You look at Maine. Our infrastructure's in shambles. Our workforce is depleted. Our educational system has fallen, and our tax burden right now is number two in the country. Number two in the country. And it will go, may go to number one if these taxes all get passed. If you're Larry Ellison and you're comparing states, and you look at Maine and you look at New Hampshire, Maine's growing poverty. Under Mills, we have grown
poverty.
We have more people in poverty than we did when she started. In New Hampshire, they have the lowest percentage of poverty in the country of their population. They have no income tax. They have no sales tax. And despite the long-held myth of higher property taxes than us, depending on the year, we're either third and they're fourth, or they're third and we're fourth. If you're Larry Ellison and you're looking at Maine and New Hampshire, which state is more inviting for me to make an investment in?
Yeah, the answer is obvious.
Obvious. Yeah. And that's my argument here. Larry Ellison should be looking at this state. We have amazing people. Well, we have the most scenic landscape in the whole world. This is the place
you want
to live.
They're not going to come here, Ray, because of...
Oh, I understand that, but that's my point.
We had a chance with Amazon. We've had great companies.
As Meatloaf said, we got great people, and we have scenic landscape, and we got rotten government. Mm. According to him, 2 out of 3 ain't bad, but Larry Ellison doesn't look at it that way, and Larry Ellison is the one with the money.
Yeah. Well, there's people out there that are willing to invest, as we well know. We got one of them sitting right next to us here. I buy what I can buy, and
David,
people will do that.
I'm not saying, yeah.
I don't know if I would use me. I'm just dumb enough to get up every day and try again.
But you know what a guy?
That's what I tell you.
But you know what a guy said to me yesterday? He was listening to the show, and he was a businessman that you guys know. I won't say his name. He didn't give me permission. And he said, you know, the thing is, Ray, is that we just endure it, we accept it. And we figure out how to navigate around
the
it,
average
and
person
we move
does.
On.
Yeah.
No. This businessman, who you both know, very prominent, he said, that's what we just do here. And I said, why don't you band together and fight it? And he said, because that's dangerous. They may target us.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Well, I think,
and that's wrong, by the way.
It's wrong that we have to have, operate under the fear of retribution. I mean, it's horrible that has to happen, but it does happen. And when they have power and you have bad people in power, and then they're going to do everything they can to hold on to it.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at these agencies and what they do and the services that they're supposed to provide and they don't. DHHS is the one that's just like at the top of my list.
But Chris brought up the property taxes of Portland. Chris, you know the infrastructure there. You had a place right on, was it Market Street?
Yes.
You know the infrastructure. The budget continues to grow dramatically. Mm-hmm. The taxes continue to grow. But the infrastructure of Portland is crumbling because of a lack of priority here. That's my argument. I'm not anti-Maine. I love Maine. I don't have to live here. I live here by choice.
We all do.
I love this state.
Everyone in the studio.
But I don't like it that a small group of people are destroying what I love.
And I will say, when it comes to Portland specific, I think right now, current leadership in Mayor Dion, I think Portland has a fighting chance. I do.
But he's got the DSA for a city council.
Right,
that's the problem.
Mark and I might disagree on 6 out of 10 objectives, but I know he loves Maine.
Yeah.
And I know he understands the issues that are facing Portland in particular, and he's aggressively trying to confront them.
I spoke with him about a couple of months ago. He wants to come in here, by the way.
I've known Mark for 20 some odd years, and he's been in here.
And
a
so
lot
folks
of years.
That are listening have to get their neighbors out to support him. And it goes back to my point about local.
We run for
local council.
You guys are hanging around. We got to run.
Right.
We fix people by fixing their car. I like being part of that.
It's a great feeling knowing that you've done something that looks good and you know the customer is going to be happy with.
We're doing great. I love my job. I love what I do and all my coworkers.
All the women that work here are